Welcome, I'm Jordan Rich, and this is On Mic with Jordan Rich, a chance to converse with people in the arts, broadcasters, musicians, writers, actors, and the like. Steve Moulter is a talented composer and musician who has a knack for creating challenging instrumental compositions like the one you're listening to right now. Steve's also made his mark as an outstanding photographer and now hosts his own podcast called Five Questions. And the aim of the podcast? To get at what really matters in a person's life. Questions that cause us to think a little out of the box and the chance to tie into human emotions, the real stuff that makes us who we are. Steve will share his personal story with us today as well. He suffered not one but two strokes as a very young man. He has since healed, and those life-threatening moments certainly did a lot to alter his life and direction, as they would anyone. We'll find out just how that happened. And now my conversation with Steve Moulter. Well, when you talk about well-rounded individuals, the gentleman here with me is just such an individual, Steve Moulter. And he and I met on the phone many years back, and we've kept in touch briefly, but it's nice to finally put the name to the face and welcome to the program.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jordan.
I know your dad. I'm just going to be bold and straightforward and say he's one of the best people in the broadcasting business I ever ran into, Gene Moulter. The apple doesn't fall far, so thanks for being here.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So there's a lot to your story here. I interviewed you years ago for the music you were doing.
And
you're a pretty well-rounded guy, as mentioned. Tell me about the music part of your life.
Yeah, I've been playing music since I picked up the guitar, I think, when I was 10. I've been playing since then and putting out music regularly since 2003. And I played in multiple bands, toured the States, toured Europe, put out probably 17 or so records. So
it's pretty impressive.
And it's a lot of different styles. They're all generally like instrumental based, but a lot of different styles within that genre. So
that's a pretty fair number of projects under your belt. So we'll hear a little bit of your music, a few samples as we move through the podcast. But we really wanted to talk to you about life for an artist, and an artist who has picked up from the East Coast to the West Coast. And you have a great story about how the West Coast enters your life and the Beach Boys and all that. What brought you to the West Coast? How'd you get out there?
Yeah, well, the fairy tale is that I found a cassette tape when I was really small, and I wanted it because there was it was a Beach Boys cassette, and it was California Girls, and there was, you know, a beautiful woman on the cover, and I forced my mom to buy it for me. But the real story is that basically, I grew up in Massachusetts. I was in my early 20s, and I just felt like I couldn't grow. I felt like I wasn't going to become a man. I felt like I was always going to be the boy that everyone saw me, you know, growing up. And so I needed to get out. And I had some friends in LA. And so I moved out there and started a life for myself. And
yeah, for many people, the LA experience is great. For others, it's a disaster. And I'm just curious how you navigate something like that when you're from Needham or the East Coast, the Boston area.
Yeah.
How you navigated it.
It's easy to everyone talks a lot. When you get to LA, people talk a lot and they can do everything for you. What I learned and what I experienced, though, was that the people who looked at me for me were the ones who were the biggest support. You know, everyone has a story and everyone has, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of people have delusions of grandeur out there.
We'll take lunch, talk to my people, set up something. Is not really a stereotype.
I mean, it happens a lot if you let it, right? But like, I was able to kind of shut that door pretty quickly into my time in that. I think it was within 2 years I kind of navigated myself away from those types of people.
Right.
And really got into people who were friendly and like wanted to know me.
So the laws of attraction in your case, you were looking for that kind of person and you found them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I found multiple people. I mean, I formed a band based on that, you know, like, and musicians out there, like there's tons of them and they're amazing and different and unique. And, you know, I moved out there with my best friend from high school and we started a band with a friend from college. And then we picked up two other guys along the way and like they ended up being some of my best friends, you know. And it's because we had the same drive, the same goals, et cetera. So.
Well, I'm very happy for you. Your music's great. But there's also another side. There's the visual side. Mm-hmm. Photography has become a passion. You do some beautiful work. SteveMoulter.com, M-O-L-T-E-R. Tell us about the urge to take photos.
Yeah, photos. You know, I'd been doing music for so long that I felt like I needed to express myself in a different way. I wanted to like discover a little more about you know, visual art, because I don't paint, I don't draw, I don't do any of that stuff. So I found a camera that I really liked, told my brother and sister-in-law about it, and they got it for me for Christmas in 2010. And then I just started shooting, you know, just stuff like around the neighborhood when I traveled, and that was it. And then part of the cool part of the story, though, is when I never shot photography professionally, really, until I left the country. And I did some work on my website, did some work on kind of understanding the medium a little more. And then when I got to Singapore, I ended up booking a gig, my first professional gig, shooting a bar, pretty famous bar in Singapore, shooting this staff portraiture.
So. Just curious, what's the camera you use now? Is it still the same one? Or
No. I have that one. I have that. That was like a little toy camera that they got me, a little plastic camera, 120 millimeter film. It was pretty sweet. But now I use a Canon 6D, which is what I use for all my digital photos.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
September 11th, for most people, has meaning. September 11th, 2012, has a different kind of meaning for you. It's a date you'll never forget.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had a stroke that day. One of two. I had one the next day as well when I was in the hospital. But yeah, that day was pretty nuts.
We were talking about this prior to coming on the air to do this podcast, and both of us, besides you, I know several people of all ages who have had stroke, and it does affect many more young people, young, healthy people than the general public may be aware.
Big time. Yeah. When I was 33 at the time, and you know, it's a long story, but thankfully I was able to get to the hospital within an hour or two, which was too long, but it was still good. But I realized after doing the research and after kind of coming out on the other side and surviving, that, you know, it's not uncommon for it to happen to people under 40, under 30.
Right.
I started digging into support groups and found people in their 20s who had similar types of situations, just accidents, tearing arteries and then clots, right. And then bam,
right.
You know.
Right. May I say, you look phenomenal. You look great. You're in excellent health. And
thanks.
You are one of the luckier ones who suffered strokes.
That absolutely.
You didn't have long-lasting, heavy-duty impairment, right?
No. I lost my vision for a few days. I had like pinhole vision, and it ultimately came back, and now I just have a blind spot. And it's not dead center, thank God. It's just a little off-center. So it doesn't affect my driving, doesn't really affect anything. It's there, and I see it every day, but it's not unmanageable.
So this is a very loaded question, but how does that change everything artistically for you? And we're going to talk about a cool podcast that you do that I want you to celebrate. But how did that change the work? We know how it changes your physical life for that instant, but did it change the work much?
I don't know. People want that to be a story. They want that to be the narrative that I had a stroke and then I changed and everything became great. And like, it's just not true. You know, I mean, I had the strokes and I'm glad I did. It was the best thing that ever happened to me because it really confirmed that the way I had been living my life and the path I was on was the right path. It wasn't like, I'm going to stop smoking now or like, I'm going to, you know, stop swearing or whatever. It was just, I had this experience. And during that experience, I was able to handle it. And I did pretty well, if I do say so myself, emotionally and physically. And that's because the lifestyle I chose and had been living prior set me up to succeed and to be
interesting, you know, reading about you, Stephen, having chatted with you at least once before on the air, reading about the fact that you were used to being on your own. But when you have something happen to you like this, you do need help. That's the change I was wondering about. Did you then realize I can't go it alone and there are people that I can turn to? And that's a beautiful thing when that happens, when they're the right people.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I'm fiercely independent. And I've lived alone for a very long time. I do everything on my own and I have to, and that's okay. And being in the hospital, I just gave up power because I was just the patient.
Right.
And so I gave it up and I was okay. I was in capable hands and they were great. But the thing that you're dead on is when I got out of the hospital, I couldn't drive. I couldn't lift anything. I was very weak and I needed people to do things for me. That was hard. To ask for help, to ask to drive for rides to the grocery store, to the doctor's appointments, all those things. Right. It was very difficult for me.
For so many of us, we take for granted the most important thing, which is our health, but we also take for granted our independence, our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been around people who are very impaired for whatever reason and they've learned to cope with it. And I'm thinking, how the hell would I be able to deal with this? Even for a day, but somehow
you do. You have to.
Right.
There's literally no other way.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where if you, you know, people are like, oh my God, I wonder what would I do? And I didn't know what I would do, but I just showed up to the hospital and they were like, okay, you had a stroke. Couldn't believe it, but I did the best I could. And thankfully the work I had done prior, like I said, emotionally and my physical shape was strong and my constitution was strong enough that I could get through it.
I guess the lesson is, the age old lesson is, anything can happen to any one of us at any time.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you have to be fearful of every step you take, but it's something to consider. And the mm-hmm. fact that life does hang on a balance at times. But here we are.
Yeah.
5 years later.
Yeah.
The continuation of the Steve Moulter experience in a good way. Let's talk about the podcast.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
this is what really, when you wrote me, I took a look at that and I said, wow, this is really intriguing stuff.
Yeah.
It's called Five Questions. Tell mm-hmm. me how it's laid out.
Yeah. So basically I started Five Questions, when I was traveling a lot in 2013, I was traveling a lot by myself, and you have to meet people. You're forced to meet people, whether they're in, in the bar, on a train, whatever. And so I would meet these people and I wanted to just kind of inquire more. And so I started to pitch like, hey, can I just take your portrait and ask you some questions and record it? And they said, yeah. And then I got back to LA and decided to really like go crazy with it in 2017. And I started interviewing people whose work I respected. So musicians primarily, but also artists and business owners and people who just live life a little differently from the norm, because ultimately at the end of the day, everyone answers these questions the same. You know, we all have the same, we're all made of the same stuff. We all have the same desires, the hopes, these loves and these fears and insecurities. And so digging into that was really a way for me to reflect on myself and to see that I'm not alone in this world. And yeah. so when I do have those tough moments, when I feel insecure, when I feel, oh my God, no one gets me. You know, I have these moments and I can read these interviews or listen to them now because it started as a transcription project.
Right.
Now it's a podcast. Right. I can listen and read and say, oh, wow, right. You know, this guy knows, she knows, they've been through this.
Yeah. The family of humans that we yeah. exist in, there's so much that brings us and binds us together, but it's asking the question. I think mm-hmm. a lot of times people are desperate to talk about this, but mm-hmm. no one's asking.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah.
I'm curious what kind of feedback you get from listeners to the podcast or those who've read the transcriptions. I mean, from those not involved with the actual interview, what
right.
do they what do they tell you? What do they
I've
say?
You know, I've not gotten a ton of like fan mail, if you will, but the stuff I've received has been overwhelmingly positive. And generally it's from it ranges from people saying, what an awesome project, I love the idea, to this specific answer from this person really affected me. And really breaking into somebody's thought process on how they live and how they deal with difficulties, you know? And yeah. and that's something that we can all attach to.
As a longtime and age-old interviewer, I can't begin to tell you how many thousands I've done. I'm always learning in the process. You've got your questions laid out, but mm-hmm. something happens in the interview, in the mm-hmm. in the conversation, and you take a detour. Does that
yeah.
sometimes happen?
In fact, I don't even have them laid out before I go.
Oh,
so
okay.
I do research on my guest, but not a ton. So because the point that I always stress to my guest is that it's not about what they do. So I never ask about their work ever. They could be a scientist. I would never ask them about science. A musician, I don't ask them about music necessarily. But I go in and I kind of improv the whole thing. So I meet them, we chat for 10 minutes, we warm up, and then I just turn it on and we go. I definitely
to me,
detour a lot.
And I know you're experiencing this. It's one of the coolest things about what we do, mm-hmm. and that is we get a chance to be real, mm-hmm. and we have the other person being real back.
Yeah.
There's very little of that in real yep. life, quote unquote.
Right.
So it's a high I get when I connect with somebody. I'm sure you feel the same way.
That's the most important thing. I love meeting people, and I love having honest conversations with people. I don't want to talk about the weather. I don't want to talk about the sports. I love the Red Sox, but I don't want to talk about them right now. You know, I want to talk about you and who you are. Right. And I want to share myself too, because the more I share, the more free I feel.
I've visited the podcast and of course the photography that goes along with the mm-hmm. subject matter mm-hmm. and the portraitures really do, and they're in black and white,
yes.
if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
They really do speak to what we're hearing. I mean, it's amazing mm-hmm. how you capture mm-hmm. the essence of a person with one shot and then you get a conversation. That's a gift.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's lovely. I love photography and I love combining them. And trying to capture someone in their environment with only a handful of minutes is difficult. And it's a challenge. And I love that challenge.
Right, right.
And there's some photographs that I look at of my guests and I'm like really proud of that one. You know, like that's a good one. And then others, it's harder because some people don't like getting their picture taken. And some people, you know, are a little less comfortable there. And that's okay. So I try to warm them up and and shoot. You know, we take the photographs after everything. So that we're all friends at that point.
You must be an expert in body language by now.
Yeah.
Getting there anyway.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the music for a second and where we are in the state of music. Because you're an independent producer, composer, performer. Mm-hmm. And this podcast is all about performance arts. Is it a good time to be what you are? I mean, because of the downloadable product and the fact that there are really no record companies anymore, that everyone's an independent, or is it more challenging because there's so much out there?
I think there are always challenges with situations. You know, in the 70s, you had to have a major record label. And if you didn't, you were nobody, right? That's got to be tough. I wasn't there, but it's got to be tough. Nowadays, I can write, and I do write full records from my bedroom and then put them online, and people in China are listening to them tomorrow.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think that if at the end of the day, if you have good content, it will rise to the surface in time. If you're dedicated to your craft, if you're good at it, and if you are not attached to the results, I think your work will speak for itself at some point.
And one more thing, we talked about this, and I think it's really fun to come back to this. Based on your history with the health issues and the stroke and all that, and you came through it and we're so thrilled that you did, and you did so with strength and so forth. But you admitted to me, and you're going to admit to my audience, I'm sure, why would you not, that none of us really change all that much when it comes to the little things. If you spill coffee on your lap, you're going to swear up a storm, yeah, as I would.
Yeah.
Even though we change, we're still human in so many,
yeah,
respects. I think that's very honest and very,
yeah,
important,
I mean,
to remind people about.
Yeah, you know, I had a conversation with somebody the other day. He had survived cancer and at a very young age, he was 16. And he talked about, and I agree with him, you know, this idea that when I was in the hospital, when I had my strokes, I was in the hospital, that was easy. You know, the daily, I don't know what's going to happen and who knows if I'm going to make it. That was, you know, it was scary, but it was easy. It was coming back to reality when they go, okay, you're good. You can go home now. And then that first night home, I got home and I was alone. And after 8 days of being surrounded by nurses and doctors all day, I was alone. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be difficult. And that's when the real work started. You know, when I was alone and I had to go out and do my grocery shopping and get in traffic,
right,
and do all these things. And, you know, it's easy to forget your sort of come to Jesus moment, if you will, once the daily grind of life shows back up again.
Now, I'm going to say this, you seem to be paying it forward with these projects. Mm-hmm. I mean, art can do so much for the betterment of humanity because it's art, crave it and need it. But do you feel that you're now at a spot that you're leaving a touch of your humanity with people who see you? I mean, I feel that way about the work I do. I mean, it's,
yeah,
kind of corny to say that, but do you feel the same way?
Absolutely. I feel like, you know, if I died in that hospital room and when I was 33, if I died, there still was some pretty solid work out there that would represent me forever.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I definitely focus on the work I do and want it to be rewarding for others. I want it to reflect who I am, you know, because if I die, when I die, because I will, you know, when I die, I want the work to stand out there and to represent the time I had on this earth, you know.
I think there's a real case to be made for the desire for legacy. And it's not just so that people will remember you, but to know that you impacted people.
Yeah.
With music particularly and the arts. And that's why the beauty of this age is that stuff can live forever.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Exactly. Exactly.
May not live on an album or in a disc,
right,
but it'll live in
the vinyl
perpetuity.
Will melt, but the digital MP3s
yes,
will. And it would be great if at some point somebody pointed to me in the distant future and said, wow, there's a piece of work that I appreciate from this person. That would be amazing. You know, I don't expect that and I don't do it because of that, obviously. I do it for myself.
Right.
But, you know, I try to put myself into everything I do.
Let's remind people about, first of all, your website, which is your name, Steve Molter, MOLTER.com. Mm-hmm. And how can they download the podcast currently? Is it on Apple?
Yeah, it's on the podcast store on iTunes at the moment. I'm still working on, it's just still brand new in the podcast realm, so I'm still working on getting it on all the other places. But,
well, we will certainly promote it here,
yeah,
and invite people to check that out and check out some of the music that we've been sort of filtering in during this show.
Yeah.
But it's wonderful to finally meet you.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thank you so much, Charlie.
And I was so excited when you got back in touch,
yeah,
knowing that you're here. And I said,
yeah,
well, where are you? I assumed you were on the West Coast.
Right.
Knowing that you're in the neighborhood made it even better.
Absolutely.
So best to your dad.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll send my best.
And we're very, very happy and proud for you.
Jordan, it's great what you're doing here, and I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Once again, to find out more about Steve, his music, and his podcast, visit stevemolter.com. And thank you for listening to On Mic with Jordan Rich, available on all major platforms. I invite you to subscribe, download, rate, and review the show. And thank you for your support, as always. You can go to chartproductions.com for much more. Have a great day.